church. Amen, church. Rebecca, thank you for being here these last few weeks. We appreciate you very, very much. Thank you. I believe Gene and Bob are coming back here pretty soon, and we're going to have to put up with them. So we love them, right? All right, so we are in the Gospel according to Luke still, and we are in chapter 10, verse 38. And this morning, we're invited to enter into the home of a family that we get to know pretty well in the Gospels. One of my favorite homes to visit as I read and imagine that I were walking with Jesus. It's the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we get to see, in this particular story, we get to see these sisters. And we get to experience something. I didn't realize quite how universal this relationship between these girls is until my Bible studies this past week. On Monday and Wednesday, I have Bible studies, and they write my sermon for me. So we talk about the text and what it means and kind of where it is. And this story, it really hit pretty hard. You know, everybody said, men's group too, they said, you know, I can really resonate. I really understand this. So I know that there's a message in this for you, as there is for me. And I pray that God's richest blessing be on you as we learn and grow in faith. So Jesus is creating the church, is basically what he's doing. He's teaching a few people how to be genuine disciples. And he has a lot of important lessons to teach them. But there's one lesson that they seem to have to learn over and over again. The problem raises its head. It's going to raise its head again here in this story, in this home. And as I read the story to you, what I would like for you to do is answer me, answer for yourselves. Answer a question. Is there sin in this family? Is there sin in this home? When Jesus walks into the home, is there sin? Can you recognize it for what it really is? And what do they do about it? And that's about as universal as Jesus can be in entering into our families. When Jesus enters into our family, is there sin in our family? Can we recognize it for what it is? And then what do we do about it if it's there? What do we do? When we recognize what Jesus is teaching. So this is the story of Mary and Martha. Pay attention and try to figure out if you can recognize the actual sin for what it is, okay? If it's in here. As Jesus, verse 38, chapter 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken from her." Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we unfold this relationship between these sisters, that we would find ourselves for who we really are. Ask your richest blessing on us, that we would hear and follow after. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question is there sin in this home? What do you think? Yes. It seems pretty obvious that that's why the story's here, right? If there weren't a problem, we probably wouldn't have the story. So the problem, and this is one of the lessons that disciples need to learn, the problem simply exists to teach you something, right? Isn't that why the problem exists? The problem exists to teach you something. It doesn't exist to harm you or condemn you, but to take you somewhere that's good. All problems are like that. So here we got a problem. What's the problem? What do you think is the problem here? Martha's in the kitchen, right? And she's busy doing what? Working. She's working hard. Whose house is this? This is Martha's house. So let's get this straight. Martha is the elder sister. This is perfect. Mary is the younger sister. They have a younger brother named Lazarus. We don't meet him quite yet. This is about a year before the crucifixion. So Jesus goes and visits a village called Bethany, and there he meets Martha, her home. She owns the home. Mary, her younger sister. Martha is busy in the kitchen, and the text says she was distracted by her busyness. Is her making drinks for these wayward travelers, is that her sin? Is making the drinks a problem?
No.
Is being busy a problem in and of itself?
No.
Ah. So let's think about this. Where's the sin in this story? According to cultural standards of the time, Mary was not allowed to be in the room with Jesus and the other men. Culture would have condemned Mary. Is Mary committing a sin? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. So what's the problem here? Is Martha committing a sin? It was culturally normal when you had a traveler come to your house that you would be hospitable, wash their feet, give them something to drink, and give them something to eat. That was not only normal, that was expected. Is Martha getting some drinks ready a sin? Is that a sin? What's the problem then? What is it? She what? Ah, let's, Gail says she's not doing this with joy. What's the problem here? Okay, she, Martha, is in the kitchen doing the dishes, and if she had simply been a humble servant who was happy to provide a drink for these wayward travelers and never said a word, she would not have sinned. What's her problem? Her problem is she's doing something that's culturally expected of her, but she's not happy doing it. And the reason she's not happy doing it is because she has compared herself to her younger sister, and she thinks her younger sister is being favored over her. And she does not want someone else to be favored over her. And so while she's doing what is totally acceptable, her mind is comparing her state of being with Mary's. And for some reason, she thinks Mary is being treated in a superior fashion. You with me? And if we as disciples don't get past our need to be superior, we cannot grow in faith. Something has to happen to Martha. Has to. If Martha doesn't get past this, she will never, ever be a genuine disciple. It's the same thing I've been, all the stories, ego. Martha's ego is in the way of her discipleship. She's in the kitchen, and you guys, you may have done this. You know people who do this. She's in the kitchen, and what she's doing is, in her mind, she's comparing herself to Mary, so her presence in the kitchen is probably loud. Right? She's probably making a lot of noise. Why? Because she's not happy, because she feels inferior to her younger sister. And after all, this is whose house? This is Martha's house. Mary just lives there. She's just given her sister a room. You know? This has likely been an ongoing issue in this family. Something has to change. So let me ask you a question. Has anybody in your life ever looked at you and said your first name twice? Ernie. Has anybody ever done that? Because here we got it. Jesus is Martha. Right? And when do people do that? I thought two times in my life. Both times by people who love me. Both times by people who love me. And they were disappointed in me. They knew that I was better than whatever it was I was doing at them. So Jesus, Martha. What do you think would have happened in this story if Martha were in the kitchen, happy doing her work, and Mary had said to Jesus, Martha's in the kitchen. Shouldn't she be in here listening to you? How do you think this story would have played out? Mary. Right? Because the problem is the rivalry. It's understanding that somehow you and I, we have this thing about needing to be superior to other people. And it's pretty universal. It's not just once or twice. This is probably all of us, based on my Bible studies. We either have experienced it, someone being superior to us, or we've exhibited us being superior to another person. So here's the real deal here. I'm gonna tell you how important this is for us to get past. The problem is comparing. When we compare ourselves to someone else, we injure our souls. We do. We almost always pick someone to compare ourselves to that we really don't know a whole lot about. We have a tendency to compare ourselves to people that we think are better off in whatever way, not even financially, but, you know, they have a better life. Well, we have no idea. We really don't. And we got to get to the point where we understand something more about being a disciple. So first, I'm going to show you how deep-rooted this is. First, I'm going to show you a picture of our cheerleaders at Bridges. Did we get that? There they are. On the left is Norman, and on the right is Wilbur. Okay? These are Jennifer's dogs. All right? Norman has been coming in to welcome me to work every day for a year and a half now. You know, and he's, they're French bulldogs. And Norman is awesome. He sees me. Man, he wags his, he is happy to see me. Always. He's the only one who's always happy to see me. No matter what mood I'm in, he cheers me up. A couple months ago, Wilbur came on the scene. Okay? So now, what do you think I saw the first day that I saw Norman and Wilbur together? Norman had his bone that he was chewing on, right? Not a problem. As far as I'm concerned, that's not sinful nature. He's just chewing on a bone. Wilbur wanted to play. So Wilbur comes up. That's not a problem, isn't it? No, Wilbur's perfectly fine. He should play. He's a puppy. And Wilbur comes up to Norman and wants to play. Well, Norman, he would have none of it. And he grabbed Wilbur by the back of his neck and held him down. Norman wasn't happy with Wilbur. Now you see, Norman and Wilbur, they're going to have to make some decisions about their life or they're going to be pretty miserable. Am I right? They're going to have to figure something out or they're going to be miserable. So on Thursday, I went over to say hi. Norman is chewing on his bone. Nothing wrong with that. Wilbur wants to play. Wilbur comes over and starts to play with Norman. What does Norman do? Starts to play with Wilbur. uh-oh, something's changed. Something's happened here. These dogs figured it out. And if they can figure it out, I would think we could figure it out. Don't you think so? Don't you think we can figure this out? We don't have to constantly be slamming the dishes in the front room because we're upset that our sibling is getting more attention than we are. Are we obligated to behave like that? So how deep-rooted is this in us? It's pretty deep-rooted. This is one of the big ones, okay? And Jesus is challenging Martha to overcome a big one. This isn't a little pebble. This rears its head. So Ashley's being tested for MS and lupus right now. And in all likelihood, it's probably going to be one or both of those. And so Ezekiel, who's 8, he understands fully that his mommy is sick. And he's homeschooled and he goes to co-op with a bunch of other kids. He comes to Promised Land here. So he sees other moms. And he comes home and he asks Ashley, how come all the other kids have moms who aren't sick? How deep-rooted is this problem? And is it possible for this to be overcome? Can there actually be a victory here? Or are we just stuck with thinking God loves them more than me? Wait until you see this story. You see, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. He really doesn't have to say much more than that. That's all he has to say. And if you're in sin, and this is your sin, then I want you to hear Jesus call out your name. Martha, Martha. When he calls out Martha's name, and he points out to her what the problem is, she has a choice to make. She has to make a decision. She could decide the way that Cain decided when God said, Cain, why are you so upset about this? Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. Its desire is to own you. Cain had a choice to make. You understand? God called out, Cain, Cain, what's your problem here? Why are you like this? Why do you have to be the first in line? Why do you have to be the one who gets recognized at the party? Why do you have to be the one who's in front of the car that just cut? Why do you have to talk like that? Why do you have to be like this? Cain, Cain. The very next verse, he murders his brother. He made a choice. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. She has a choice to make. This is why I love this family. I just love how they listen to Jesus. So I want to read to you a little bit more about this family. We'll come back to it again one more time before we finish Luke. But I want to read from the Gospel of John. I want to read another little conversation that Jesus has with Martha. It's about a year later. He's finished. He's visited the home. Martha, Martha. He's confronted Martha on her sin and said, you shouldn't be like this. Martha has left that conversation. And generally, you know, when I see this, we don't often get follow-up visits with Jesus. We don't get him going back to people, so we don't really know what happened. But we do know that some people choose like Cain, and some people choose like Martha. So here we get a new visit. A year later, we get to see what Martha did with that rebuke. Jesus rebuked her and said, you shouldn't be thinking like this. And we get to see what she did. Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus has died. And Jesus has waited a while to come and visit the family. This is about a year later. And Martha says this. She sees Jesus coming down the road. Her brother's already in the grave. And she says this. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will rise again at the resurrection, at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said, the teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. What a different Martha. What a different person. You see, if we could just listen to what Jesus is saying and respond the way that Martha responds, she lets the words of Christ seep into her soul. She begins to realize, you know, I don't have to be number one. I don't have to be that competitive about life. I don't have to be superior to everyone around me. In fact, it would be better for me when I see Jesus next time to run and get my sister and bring her to Jesus so she doesn't miss out. You see, what a different soul. And therein is the challenge for you and for me. When you are rebuked by the Spirit of the living God, what do you do with it? Do you even recognize it? Do you even know it is what it is? Because I got a newsflash for you. You're not perfect. You got stuff you got to learn. I've got things I've got to learn. We all do. And this is a big one. This is a deep-rooted one. When are you going to stop comparing yourself to other people? The only person that you should look up to, admire, and strive to model is Jesus. We are not yet there. But I pray for you, and you pray for me. I pray that you respond to the words of the Holy Spirit the way that Martha does. I pray that you would listen. Open yourself to the possibility that he can create a better life for you. What's the difference between Mary and Martha in the first story and Mary and Martha in the second story? A year has lapsed. Can you see the difference? Martha has listened. She needed to listen. She needed to hear this. And she runs and gets her sister and says, come, Jesus is here. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, and I ask for your richest blessing on us as we continue to learn and grow in faith. I pray, oh God, that we would indeed learn what it means to listen to you, to know who you are, and when you call out our name, that we would indeed listen carefully to what you're calling us to do. We see again, Lord, how deep-rooted our egos are and how they get in the way of what we are to become. Help us, Lord, to lead humble lives, to understand and to know that other people have value in your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Friends, let's continue our worship now with the giving and the receiving of our gifts.